Being a Wednesday, it is that time where we talk all things education, and joining us is Professor John Fischetti. Good morning, John, our first one together.
Good morning, it's a pleasure.
For sure. Now, today we want to talk about some startling numbers that are coming out, that in the first 5 years of high school teachers becoming fresh in their career, that they're leaving the profession. I guess, firstly, are those numbers as startling as they appear to be?
Well, I think any time you talk about 50% of a profession leaving in the first 5 years, that's a dramatic number. But actually, the healthiest organizations in the world, in business, in government, and elsewhere, it's about 10%, 11% is a normal, due to retirement, due to transition, due to partners moving to another location. So if you really think about it, if that's about a 12.5% for teaching per year, times five gets you toward 50. So it's only about one teacher per school more than we'd like, which means the problem is solvable.
I guess, too, when you talk about those numbers, in larger corporations, having worked in big corporations, yeah, people coming and going all the time, it doesn't seem to factor in. But comparative to that, schools are fairly small in numbers of staff, so those numbers can potentially seem a little bit bigger than they are.
They are, but the real reason is, are people leaving for the wrong reason? Are they disenchanted? Are they burned out? Are they thinking that things are hopeless? Those are the things we have to do something about. The normal progression of careers and the normal movement of people in society we have to expect. It's really those one or two teachers that we need to look out for. They're not happy, or they have some stress or other issues that I think are the challenge. And a lot of that relates to the preparation they feel for the challenges of being in the classroom today.
Which can be numerous in themselves and overwhelming. One of the things that comes up when we have these discussions is teachers perhaps not prepared for some of the troubling students or some of the challenges that the students themselves are going through in schools. How are some of the ways that we can get around that to make teachers' life a little bit easier?
So it starts with whether or not the preparation they have in their teacher preparation programs gets them in diverse settings. If you were only in the most affluent schools where you went to school and where you do your pracs or your final internship, you're very well prepared to work with highly motivated, high-achieving children.
That's
with
easy.
Strong parent support. If you're only doing that, then you're less likely to be prepared for some of the challenges where kids are less advantaged, where there's more of the demands of society have hit the school. And you also may not have been challenged to teach content in multiple ways, because students might have learned it by any old way you taught it. So having that variety of approaches, having the disposition to care, not assuming students are deficits, that's a lot of work to do. Because if you have 27 students in your class and there's just one of you, to have four different ways you teach the lesson is extremely wearing. So our job as teacher preparation programs and principals' jobs in assigning a timetable to teachers is really that they have the diversity of experiences to be able to be successful in those situations.
In the past, it has seemed to be that the way to get some on-the-ground experience and something a little bit different to what you're used to is to sort of move out west, you know, start your career, yep, out at Burke or Moree or somewhere like that, and then gradually work your way back. That's not really the only way we can get that diverse look at students these days, because as you've just mentioned, even here in the Hunter, there's just so many different things happening, and each school has got its own different challenges it's dealing with.
I think it's an ideal situation for if someone would go west to New South Wales and get that diversity of experiences. It's also not realistic for many of our students, like here at UON, where about 40% of our students are mature age. They have families they're taking care of. They have elders they're caring for. And it's just not realistic. But we can get the diversity of placements here in the Hunter very easily now. If you look at the community of Jesmyn with multi-language and multicultural, in some communities that are experiencing disadvantage, there's plenty of opportunities to sort of get real-world experience without having to go west. I still really urge anyone to get that diverse experiences and move into different communities. Plus, we hope they might like it and reorganize their lives and stay there. It's just not going to be everybody. In our student body, it's probably 20 to 30% that has the privilege of that flexibility in their day right now to be able to think about that.
Yeah, which is great if you have that flexibility. But if you don't, you're kind of a little bit more limited in where you can go. But even here in the Hunter, there's just so many different schools with so many different, you know, individual things happening.
There's a scheme in New South Wales called Teach New South Wales, which is providing some financial incentives for people if they take that on. I think that's the right way to go. Other schemes in the world have done that, where particularly in mathematics and science, where if we really have a shortage, we give incentives. So it's a little extra salary, a little extra accommodation, and some flexibility so that we might encourage people, because in some ways we're going to have to provide that to get the right numbers of people to go where we need them the most.
You mentioned before we came on this morning that's the type of scheme that operates operates in rural areas in the United States, where there are financial incentives and also accommodation incentives to get people to move to those areas where they're struggling to find teachers. Once that period is up, how many of those are actually deciding, hey, I love it out here in the rural area, I'll stay there, versus those that are wanting to move back closer to home?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because I don't think most of the colleagues that will move in that direction will see it as a permanent move, just as most people in all their jobs see it as one step on their journey. If we can get 3 to 5 years from a teacher in a site that's positive and well-directed, that might be a really good thing. We hope during that time they might decide to stay, but it's probably not realistic, particularly in high-demand areas like math and science, where people have the opportunity. So we must go into this thinking we need to always be recruiting the next cohort. In addition, that's where partnerships with high schools in the rural areas are crucial, so we grow the next generation from those communities, where young people feel the passion and commitment and sort of social value to come to uni and then return home to make the difference. Those are the folks that are probably the keepers. They're going to be there to raise their family in that community. So I think it's that multi-pronged approach, not a one-size-fits-all, to get people who haven't had the experience and others come from it, and do it around a positive recruitment, that this is a really good opportunity, not something you're stuck with.
Almost a little bit of social engineering, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
And a deeper discussion for another day about employment, where in the past you may have had a job in the one place, in the one organisation for decades, and it's certainly not like that anymore. John Vicetti, thanks
That's
for your time this morning.
Thanks. Have a great
Talking
day.
All things education with us at 2NURFM.